We're ready. I'm going to put this down here a little bit. Okay, I'm going to ask everybody to get seated and quiet. It's time to go. And Lee's here, so we're ready to go. Hi, I'm Libby. And this is Jim, and we also have Mike and Sue here. We're your leaders for this meeting. It is a couples Essanon meeting. Topic is the traditions as tools for the relationship. So if you're not in the right room, now's your time to go. Run away, yeah. Mike's about to leave. Oh, wrong. He already challenged me on were we in the right room. I would like to open this meeting with the Serenity Prayer. So if you'd join me in that. Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Just for the day. I'm going to read the Essanon preamble. Essanon is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other so that they may solve their common problems and help others to recover. The only requirement for membership is that there be a problem of sexaholism in a relative or friend. There are no dues or fees for Essanon membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. Essanon is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor imposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to recover from the effects upon us of another person's sexaholism and help families and friends of sexaholics. And now I'm going to move right into the guidelines because I'd like to get us moving along as quickly as we can. These are the guidelines for sharing in a couples meeting. Because our common welfare comes first, here are the guidelines for sharing during our meeting. This is a special meeting which deals specifically with couple relationships, but our purpose in sharing is to discuss ourselves rather than our partners. If you wish to share, please wait to be recognized by the leaders, as we do not crosstalk. That is, we share our experience with the group as a whole rather than addressing comments or questions to individual members, including our partners. If you wish to reply to a speaker, do so after the meeting one-on-one. We are going to limit the length of our sharing, but I don't know how long, so that all may have a chance to speak. We leave our other identities outside the discussion, other 12-step issues, philosophies, religions, therapies, and occupations. Our meetings focus on the Essanon 12-step approach to recovery, so we avoid the mention or discussion of specific titles and authors of publications other than Essanon conference-approved literature, which is Essanon, SA, Al-Anon, and AA. We stress that sharing be pertinent to relationships, and that if you wish to talk about your partner, he or she must be present. Also, there's one other little thing, that after one partner shares, the next person that gets to share is the other partner, and they can choose to share or pass. Each member present is encouraged to remind other members during the meeting, if necessary, of our commitment to these guidelines. Taped info, right. As you can see, this is a taped meeting in the spirit of 12 steps. This meeting is recorded. If you don't wish to re-record it, then you don't get to come up and say anything. So just understand that this is being taped, and that's the deal. If you're going to speak, you will be recorded. All right, do you want me to do the courage to change reading, or do you want to do it? Jim found this, and I thought it was really appropriate, so I thought I would open the meeting with this. And this is from Courage to Change, March 27th. I used to think that living meant surviving from crisis to crisis. I continued to function this way. Make sure I'm reading the right one. Yeah. I continued to function this way as an adult because it was the only way I knew. Since that time, and I'm going to just say Al-Anon because it's easier for me. The Al-Anon Fellowship has become like family to me. Our 12 traditions help me learn how a healthy family group functions. Today, when a problem involving other people arises, I turn to the traditions for guidance. They have made it possible for me to be part of a group that encourages my growth. They have led me to learn to detach, to respect other people's privacy, and to find some release from my need to dominate and control. Because of the 12 traditions, I have discovered that I am an important member of any group in which I take part. I have a sense of my own value. as well as my limitations. As a result, I am developing the wisdom to know the difference between what I can change and what I must accept. Today's reminder, because the traditions are based on spiritual principles, they often apply to personal matters as well as group concerns. When I get tangled up in problems with other people, the traditions can offer guidance and perspective. And the quote is, the 12 steps and 12 traditions embody principles that lead to recovery and personal growth, helping each of us to discover and become the person we want to be. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Jim.
Hey, everybody. My name is Jim. I'm a grateful member of both programs. I want to read the 12 traditions. I'm going to read the 12 traditions of Essanon. There's little differences here and there from the ones in SA, but they're essentially the same. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal progress for the greatest number depends upon unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the relatives of sexaholics, when gathered together for mutual aid, may call themselves an Essanon family group, provided that as a group they have no other affiliation. The only requirement for membership is that there be a problem of sexaholism in a relative or friend. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting another group or Essanon or SA as a whole. Five, each Essanon family group has but one purpose, to help families of sexaholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps of Essanon, by encouraging and understanding our sexaholic relatives, and by welcoming and giving comfort to the families of sexaholics. Six, our Essanon family groups ought never endorse, finance, or lend our name to any outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary spiritual aim. Although a separate entity, we should always cooperate with Sexaholics Anonymous. Seven, every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Essanon 12-step work should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, our groups as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. A lot of typos in here. 10, the Essanon family groups have no opinion on outside issues, hence our name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, and films. We need guard with special care the anonymity of all Essanon and SA members. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles above personalities. So now that you're all back to sleep, you know, that's the problem with the traditions, is that actually in one of our meetings, we started reading the principle of them, or the concept of the month, every meeting. And if you think the traditions sound a little dry, grab the concepts, man. It's like legalese. It's really hard to understand. But, you know, my experience of the traditions is totally different than that. Attitude towards them that I had when I was new, where I was like, "Oh God, get that over with, will you? You know, I'm gonna, you know, put out the fire, forget about the traditions." My first sponsor, I know a lot of you heard this probably, but it bears repeating. My first sponsor said that the steps prevent suicide, and the traditions prevent homicide. And it's true, you know. You put a bunch of crazy people like us in a room together, and you have that meeting continue on for years and years and years. How does that happen? You know, and the traditions really are like a magical thing. Another thing that I think that one way I see it is that when I get to the 12th step, it tells me to practice these principles in all my affairs. But I don't know what principles, and I don't know how to do that. But the traditions, applying the traditions, guides me through that. Okay. Another thing my first sponsor told me was that one way to look at the steps is that the first step is a statement of the problem. I'm powerless. Life's unmanageable. The second step is a statement of the solution, that developing a relationship with a higher power. And 3 through 12 is nothing more than how I get to that solution. Okay, you can look at the traditions the same way. Our common welfare depends, our recovery depends upon unity. And how do we get unity? Well, we get it through the group conscience. But the only way we can really have hear a loving God through our group conscience is if we know what our membership requirement is, and we can be autonomous, and we are self-supporting, and if we follow 3 through 12, that's how we get to the solution. Okay, that's how we can get to a group conscience. That's how we can get to unity. So at any rate, but bringing this back to coupleship, because I think we were in our first or second year of recovery when we have two boys. They were 8 and 9 when we came in. Now they're 18 and 19. We were in first or second year of recovery, and there was some problem in the house. I don't know, some disagreement going on. It was them against us, and we were going to lose, and they were going to lose. And coming home from a meeting one night, we thought, well, maybe we could try the traditions. Maybe we could try to have a group conscience with the kids. And I really didn't like it. I thought, the outcome of this group conscience is probably going to be me having to play 8 hours of video games a day. I wasn't interested. I was really afraid of doing this. But we bucked it up and took it to them and said, this is what we want to do. And they said, yeah, right. You're going to listen, we're going to tell you what we want, and then you're just going to go do what you want anyway, like you always do, So, and they knew us. They'd been living with us for 8 years. But when we actually sat down and got honest, and they were willing to participate eventually, and went around the four of us, and each of us put in our piece, and this magical thing happened, like it often does, and there was a solution that popped up that none of us had considered, that all of us thought was a good idea. And, God just came into that room, and it worked. So we have had this over and over the last 8 or 10 years, where the traditions are, when we go to the traditions, we find solutions in our life, in our relationships, that we don't find otherwise. I just want to run through a few of them quickly and just some of my ideas about them. When I heard that our common welfare comes first, or the welfare of the relationship comes before my individual welfare, I didn't like that. I mean, that was contrary to my prior thinking. I thought that once I really got it together, then I could be, that dad and husband that I ought to be. And what it turns out is that when I can be that dad and husband that I ought to be, then I get it together. Then I'm successful in the rest of my life, too, so that my own welfare really depends on the welfare of this relationship. Let's see. I talked about two a little bit, which is the loving God. Oh, and tradition one, too, just the idea of unity. is the action I'm about to take, or is the thinking going through my mind, is it unifying or is it dividing? What's in the interest of the relationship? A lot of times I can't figure out what's good for me, and I think I know what's good for her, but of course I don't. But sometimes I can get a good idea of what's good for the relationship. So unity is just a useful principle for me to keep in mind. Three, the requirement for membership. Well, tradition three in essay is a little different. It says it's a desire to become sexually sober, and I can't remember. Somebody could probably quote it for me. But anyway, in Essanon, desire to stop lusting, become sexually sober. In Essanon, it's, that you have crazy people in your life. It's really the requirement to be part of Essanon. But for us, on SA, it's a desire. So that's the way I see third tradition is, do we have a desire to be in this relationship? Do I desire to be in a loving relationship that's oriented around spiritual growth or not? Last spring, we sent our son off to treatment, and what it really came down to was he didn't have a desire to be part of our family anymore. His other life was taking control. And when we recognize that, it's like, time to go. And now, 6 months later, after a lot of hard work, I'm here to report that he does have a desire to be in our family again, and that he is keeping us in the loop. He's still an 18-year-old and he's burning the candle at both ends, and his lifestyle is out of control, but he's part of the family, and he's honest, and it's happening. So that's what I see. Is that, do I want to be there? Does she want to be there? If not, let's go work the steps until we do, or we don't, or we figure it out. But there's no point in trying to have a relationship if I don't want to, or if the other people in that relationship don't want to. Four is the one about autonomy, You know, we used to schedule each other's time. We used to make commitments for each other without even thinking about it, without talking to the other one. And we don't do that anymore. Kind of like one of the agreements that I've heard about for unity. I heard it in an Al-Anon meeting last week, actually, was that this woman and her husband, and I think this is an unwritten agreement that we have, but they made this agreement that they would not take their arguments into the public in order to get the support of somebody, you know, like I take it there so that you guys will agree with me and she'll be wrong, you know, because of course we both lose, but in the interest of unity, they don't do that, you know, and that's a pretty cool agreement. I like that. Tradition 5 is about our primary purpose, and our primary purpose is to practice and share our recovery with each other and with other people, and to be of service, you know, to each other and to other people. And, you know, in as far as our relationship, you know, our primary purpose is a little different than my SA group's primary purpose or our S&N community's primary purpose. But being clear about that, you know, my primary purpose or our primary purpose in a relationship is not to make me look good. And that's what I used to think, you know. I had to have the right car and the right kids and the right wife so I'd look good, you know. So people would like me or at least fear me or something. I don't know. But what a concept, you know. That's really a huge change for me. What? Oh, am I dry? It's too early, you know. I mean, you guys, I really admire you for coming to a traditions meeting at 8 in the morning on Sunday. This is cool. These are my kind of people. I don't mean that as an insult. let's see. 6 is the one about outside affiliations, that we don't have them. And, you know, for a sexaholic, that's kind of an obvious extension. I don't have outside affiliations anymore, you know. But beyond that, you know, don't let the pursuit of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose of having a spiritual relationship, you know, with recovery and service. I talked to a guy on the phone last week that his recovery had become more important than his relationship. And he's been in recovery a long time, been in a relationship a long time. But he's told me that he's going to these meetings and these meetings. And, you know, and his wife said, "Hey, can we have a ham sandwich?" He said, "I got to go to a meeting," you know. And he'd kind of lost his priority, his outside affiliation, even though it was with the program, had, you know, was conflicting with his primary purpose. 7, the self-supporting thing. Emotionally self. Really, what it is about dividing up the jobs and the work so that we're both doing our share. You know, I don't think that it means that if I bring $100, she's got to bring $100. But it's being support. You know, having a mutually supporting life, and being emotionally self-supporting is a big piece of it. You know, because I'll try to get Libby to worry with me about something that's really not very important, but I can't get it out of my head, you know, and she won't worry with me about it. You know? But when my mom gets diagnosed with leukemia and I got to spend a lot of time out of town and on the phone, then she's there to support me. But not just about, you know, the trash in my head. So, am I okay? 8 and 9 are about being non-professional and non-organized. Or not, you know, unnecessarily organized. And I've never had the problem of being unnecessarily organized. But, you know, we tend to find polar opposites. So I do live with that. But, you know, I don't have to be a professional parent or a professional husband. You know, I'm just kind of a sick guy trying to do my best and bumping along in this relationship. And at the same time, you know, there's not this, well, you're the wife, and so you're supposed to, you know, I don't get to do that. It doesn't help the relationship. You know, again, it goes back to what's unifying, what's dividing. So, you know, we don't, And we don't have this service, this, you know, rigid service structure in our family and in our marriage and our relationship where you have to do this and you have to do that. It happens that she does the bank accounts because I'm so bad at it. But you know, if she got really unhappy about that, I'm willing to take it over and to do my best at it. You know, and we just suffer the consequences of that. But, I don't know. It's been a long conference, you know. let's see. But you know, in the old days, it was pretty rigid. You know, I was the professional. I was going to work. I was important, too. And anything that was outside my office was her job and her responsibility. And by God, you know, there was this really different attitude about it. And now, you know, it's the relationship comes first. Those roles and those ideas are not so important as they were. Or as they seem to be. 10 is the one about non-controversial. You know, we don't have to vote for the same people. We don't have to take on, it's not our policy to enforce agreement between us on outside issues. We can have our own opinions, but we don't go as a couple to take a stand on something. Again, that could get in the way of the more important thing. And 11 is attraction rather than promotion. I remember years ago, before recovery, there was this other couple that lived in our neighborhood. Oh, am I done? Okay. Hang on just a sec. And they just had this really good act. You know, they had all the right friends, they had the right parties, and we wanted, you know, I watched us trying to be part of that and trying to, like, market our, you know, maybe we can apply and be part of this social group. And we never really made it. You know, we never really got into that thing. And we really don't do that anymore. But the interesting part is that couple who had it so together. Of course, it turns out that guy was a sexaholic. But as somebody in here says, he only had one letter. He never got the A. You know, he never got into recovery. He didn't get the second letter. He only had one. And their marriage is gone now. You know, and their relationship is gone. And there's nothing for us to try to promote ourselves to. So, you know, we tend to find other relationships and friends just by who God puts in our way, you know. And then the last one is 12, and that's about principles before personalities. And, you know, over the years we can actually sit on committees, planning committees for marathons and stuff now without tearing each other's hair out. And it's like treat each other like there's somebody else in a meeting, you know, like Libby was talking about yesterday. And, that's enough for me, but thanks.
Hi, I'm Libby. Sometimes it's really hard to follow Jim. Okay, and I'm going to see what time it is. Wow. All right, before I get started, I just want to put a pitch in for this Al-Anon book, Paths to Recovery. If you're interested in the traditions, this is a great reference book. Great reference book. I'm really pleased that someone way back when said that's the book to get, and I did. It's got stories, and it not only talks about the tradition from a recovery standpoint, you know, in our groups, but it also has personal stories in there and showing how to use it in a family situation. And that's, I don't know, from way back, the traditions have always been something that has, interested me from very early on in recovery, and I don't really know how that happened, but I do remember that she's actually my grand sponsor, and has been for a long time, and her name came up a number of times early on in recovery. She also lives in North Carolina. And people somehow think that if you're from North Carolina, you should know everybody else from North Carolina. It's a big state, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, 12 hours from one end to the other. But, but you know, it's like, do you know her? I was like, no. She lives like 3.5 hours away. but I finally got up the courage to call her up probably about a year or so after in recovery, and found out that their fellowship was having held a couples meeting once a month at somebody's house. And we had, like Jim said, we had small kids, but I didn't have a meeting where I was. I was a loner when I first came in. And I said, we are going, because I need to be with other Essenons. I was like, oh, all right. And we made the effort to find somehow somebody to take care of our kids and all that sort of stuff. And it was a hassle. I mean, it was not easy. But in doing that, I was introduced more and more. This was a person who really believes in the traditions and lives by them in a lot of ways. And so I felt like I got this mentor that introduced both of us. Both of them do the traditions. And that was really such a gift. And so I've always looked at the traditions as a way to bring them into the family, not just with Jim and I as a couple, but how to raise kids, And Jim said, you know, we have two boys now that are 18 and 19, and my thought was, yes, and they're still alive. They're still alive. And so are we. So, yeah, it really has prevented homicide in our house. So to me, the traditions have given us a guideline, of how to do it differently, because we certainly didn't learn how to do it. You know, we didn't have good role models growing up. There was a lot of dysfunction in both of our families, but we don't need to go into that. So, tradition one. I'm going to kind of whip down through these two. Two things in tradition one: common welfare and unity. And what tradition one speaks to me about is playing well together, which I've never done well. Put me in a group. I'm the leader. You're going to do what I tell you to do. I know it's the best way to do it. And I have an agenda. You know, no doubt. I have an agenda. And so I either rise to the top, or if there's another man in the group, as is in this couple, I let them take over. You know, I give them my power. So those are my two extremes that I do. And tradition one gives me the outline of, you know, to think about, well, what's unity and what's common welfare? Well, that's really hard for me. What is common welfare? And what I've come down to is that me taking care of me is in the common welfare. I have to, from an Anon point of view, I have to think about what's right for me. And that's really what's the common welfare, is me stepping back and going, okay, Lib, what do you think about all this? And not just go along. Because that's part of my disease, is to just and sort of follow along. And sometimes I have to step back and go, no, that doesn't work for me. And that's okay. That's all right. So it's a little bit different viewpoint than and from the addict and Anon position. But I also recognize that I do have an agenda, and I have to be careful about that. Because my old behavior is, I have to be heard, it has to be my way, and the power struggles. Oh my God, the power struggles that we used to have. Because one of us had to be right. You know, one of us had to be right. And now it isn't like that anymore. And I don't know how that's happened, but it's been kind of a miracle that one of us doesn't have to be, you know, it's like we can come to some agreement. We can all sometimes agree to disagree, and that's okay. And some examples of this are that we try to be better helpers with each other. It's like just trying to work in the kitchen together. Used to be just, it still is sometimes really hard, but trying to actively be a helper instead of be the boss. It's a big deal. I mean, it seems like a really small thing, but it's a big deal. And we're able to be partners instead of adversaries. We're not having to justify each of our own camps, you know, and come and say, I'm right. We can be partners instead and recognize that we're on the same team. Tradition two for me is really about trust. Jim told the whole thing about having kids, and you know, when I allow others to be part of the process, and have other minds come in, it's allowing God to come into the conversation. It allows higher power to come in, and options come up that I could never have thought of. And again, I have to let go of my agenda. It's letting go of my agenda. And that's just not something that I was, you know, that's something that I've learned through this program. Two to me is about, I'm the only one that can do it right, so I got to do it. And it's about letting go of my judgment and allowing other people to step up and do what they need to do. So in a group conscience situation, it's about hearing, listening, and hearing what else is to be said out with everyone else. And the other part of two that's really hard for me in my disease is trusting that the solution will come at the right time. You know, I want to know what to do now, and it doesn't always happen that way. And there are things that sometimes it's really clear what to do in the moment, and sometimes it isn't. And I have to just be able to let that go, because my old behavior is that I couldn't trust anybody else. I could only trust myself. I had the answers, of course, and it had to be done now. And if I didn't do it, nobody would, and it certainly wouldn't be done right. It just wouldn't. So I'm able to speak my truth now and trust that higher power is going to come in and guide us in the right direction. And the thing about this, I think, is really key for me in my recovery, is that two is, and this is step two as well as tradition two, it's about trusting first in my higher power, because that's how I then learn to trust myself. And then I get to learn how to trust other people. And that's really what I want in my relationship, is trust. And this is, the traditions have helped me in doing that. I put 3 and 5 together, which is about who gets to be a member and having no other affiliation and the requirement. And the only thing that I think I'm going to add to that, besides what was said, is that a group is a group regardless of the number of members. I can be a group by myself, and or we can be a group as a couple, or we can be a group as a family. And the primary purpose is to develop my spiritual relationship, not my marital relationship. My spiritual relationship does have to come before the marital relationship. And that's really key. And I know it's a little bit different than what Jim said, but again, I think it's from different sides, because my disease so much is always worried about us, instead of me. And I need to learn how to focus on me before I can bring anything to the relationship. I just can't. Yeah, and this is a really good point, because I've been doing some tradition study about who gets to be a member. And in allowing anybody to come, you know, anybody is, you know, they get to decide if they're a member or not. And it reminds me to put aside my judgment and treat my family members as with the same kind of kindness and tolerance that I would a newcomer. Remembering that they are sick people, not bad people. And to put that aside. And that's kind of 12, too. Principles before personalities. And I'll get to that a little bit. Tradition 4, being autonomous. You know, it's freedom with responsibility. We get to do our own thing, but we need to be, you know, respectful and responsible to each other. I look at this... Thanks. My disease leans heavily towards enmeshment, and Tradition 4 helps me have a healthier perspective on appropriate group involvement. And that's really important for me, because I don't know what appropriate group involvement is. It's all about, well, let's all do it together all the time, and that's not always good. And I still have to learn that with regards to Jim and I, with regards to all of us going on vacation all the time together, and it's not always a good thing. It's not always a good thing. Tradition 6, for me, the thing that jumps out for me is money, property, and prestige divert us. I definitely struggle with workaholism, and I'm self-employed. And I have a huge desire to look good and be successful and be noticed and recognized, and darn, I'm important. And that I have to stay really honest about that. I have to work at being honest about that, because I can get really diverted about saying, "Oh, but it's making us money." You know, it's the way that we're bringing money in, and that's always, you know, questionable too, and it can really interfere with our common welfare. if I put that, if I get all hung up in my agenda around that, because I do have ulterior motives in the background, and that's something that I personally have to watch. Being self-supporting with tradition seven, again, this to me, this has got nothing to do with, well, it, sometimes money comes into it with regards to our kids, but there's emotional and spiritual support that we all need to do. I need to step out of the way. Step out of the way, step out of the way, step out of the way, so they can be emotionally and spiritual self-supporting on their own. I'm not stepping in and fixing it, and, oh, dear, I'm sorry you hurt because your girlfriend's broken up with you. This is my kids. That's pretty good. Yes! That was a good spontaneous one. I like that. So I need to step out of the way to allow others. Pardon me. Yeah, that's progress, yeah. So that they can be themselves. That's right, to allow others to do for themselves that which we thought we had to do for them. That's one of our gifts. So this helps me remember that. Let's see. What did I have in here? I'm not going to do anything about tradition time. And I found it really interesting that Jim mentioned about 8 and 9 being organized and that he wasn't organized, but I was. I didn't even have anything on here about 8 and 9. I didn't even go into it. I didn't even go into it, and I thought that was pretty interesting. 11, attraction rather than promotion. That, to me, says, let it begin with me. If I'm not, if Jim's not being as romantic as I want him to be, he's not listening to me, he's not giving me enough hugs, he's not, present for me, whatever. Then I can do that. I can come up and have hugs. Or he's not being compassionate enough. That's one of my things. You're so compassionate to all of your, recovery people, and yet I'm struggling, and it's like, get over it. come on. And sometimes I don't necessarily get the compassion or the response that I want from him. But that. I can still do that, and I can give that, and it's amazing how things shift when I start doing what I need to do, and let it begin with me. So that's flowers, gifts, things like that, and I don't do that well for myself either. So why should I expect him to do it? So there, that was one thing that came up, and then we need guard with care the anonymity. I don't think that's in the essay traditions about anonymity of, the other side. And I've gotten Jim's permission to tell our story, because that's what he told me once. He said, this is our story, not just my story. But I try to be very conscious of that there are appropriate ways to share this, and there are inappropriate ways to do that. And we've already had it be in the newspapers and on TV, and I don't need to go there again. Tradition 11 talks to me about gossip and not gossiping about family members. And again, it's like bringing people on my side and all that sort of stuff. And then 12, principles above personalities. The big thing here with me is that, we have we've been together a long time, over 20 years now, which is a miracle in and of itself. And it wouldn't be that way if it weren't for this program, by the way. The people that I have the most history with, I assume how they're going to behave. I know what their personalities are, and I know what they're going to do. And 12 helps me remember that, again, these are, people that may act the way that I think they are going to, or they may not, but I have to have the principle of they are a loving, they are a child of God, and I can love them, and try to look at them as a newcomer instead of pigeonholing them in the, you are in this slot, and this is how you behave, because this is what I expect. So this preconceived notion and letting go of that, of how they will respond, and I need to set that aside and do something different. Gives me the opportunity to strive to be someone that I want to be and do that. So I'm going to leave and let Sue or Mike to take over. So thank you.
Hi, Mike. Hi, I'm Mike. I'm a sexaholic, and I'm truly grateful to be in a committed relationship with Sue. And traditions for me is probably the worst part of my recovery because I break them. I don't adhere to them. I've been told I've done certain things that were not right. Because I want to be right, you're not right. And I found out through the process of recovery that I want to be right with my wife. I want to have a lasting relationship with her. And one of the things that I use and we use in our coupleship is it is a spiritual program. If we follow the steps and the traditions, the obsession to be right leaves me. Okay? And when my wife asked me what I was going to share on, and I had no idea. So I told her that I wanted to deal with traditions 1 and 2 about our common welfare. Sure, I want to be in common welfare to build up the group as a whole. But I want to discuss the reason why I want to have a common ground with my wife. I've been in recovery a little over 9 years, and I still don't truly want my wife to trust me. I haven't earned that right. For me, coming through these doors, and especially working the program of recovery with my wife, has helped me to heal me, to help our relationship. And I've taken the tradition word, and I want to just share a few things that mean a lot to me in our coupleship. I need to trust the process and let God be in charge. I invite my wife to kneel with me twice a day to thank our God, our higher power, for the things that have happened and the things that we are grateful for. What a great blessing it is to kneel with her and to thank our higher power together. I trust that God will make all things right if I am willing to listen to her. I respect her. I honor her. Not just because I'm married to her, because I truly love her. Internally. I accept the fact that she's got problems and I can't fix them. I am not responsible to fix her problems. And one of the great things I found out, I don't want to fix all her problems the way I want them done, because I'm right, she's wrong. If you don't believe me, just ask me. Am I very decisive with my actions towards her, or the traditions, or our common welfare? Honey, do you want to go to the movie tonight? Yeah, I'll go. Where I should have said and asked her, honey, it would mean a lot to me if you would go to the movie tonight with me. I love going to movies with you. Will you go to this movie and mention the movie? That has changed immensely in my coupleship with Sue, to be very direct and very decisive about my questions with her, instead of being a hint dropper and saying, hello, my name is Mike. I'm a member of Hint Droppers Anonymous. Will you go for a ride with me? No, I say, be very decisive. And I'll tell you, I laugh about it now, but it works for us. And it does work, and I've seen it in other couples. I need to take care of me first. I know it says, for our unity, we need to have a group unity. There is not a possibility for Sue and I to have unity if each one of us do not take care of ourselves. When I sit down and listen to her, one of the toughest things I've ever had to do is to listen to her as an individual and to feel her strength, her pain. But boy, do I love doing it now. I love to hear her when she's hurting. I love to hear it when she has something really good to say. And I need to get out of myself and remember she is important. In other words, I need to take time to be with her. Not just share space with her or share the house with her, because we were married roommates for years. And I don't ever want to go back there. I don't want to go back to the pain after receiving so much happiness, joy, and freedom that this program has given me and given us. I internally love this woman. She is my helpmate. She is my partner. I love to tell her my pain. She has given me the freedom, the opportunities to tell her about my lust hits, how I feel about me and my feelings. What a gift that has been to me. That creates our common welfare. And we learn how to take ownership of our statements. Ownership of who we are. Ownership that we might be wrong. Gosh, what a concept. I'm going to prove to her that she is wrong. And doggone it, if she doesn't believe me, there's the door, sweetheart. Doesn't happen. In the last 9 years, there has been one time that we have gone 24 hours where we did not say a kind word to each other. In other words, we didn't speak for 24 hours because we were really upset with each other. And when we got back together, the very next day, we made a commitment to each other. This is probably 4 or 5 years ago. That we would not last more than 4 to 12 hours of not saying something kind to each other and coming back. I need Sue. Anne is for need. She is on my team. I don't want her on the opposite team like it was so for many years. And I want to support her. I want to be part of her life. I want you to practice something right now. Not all of you have your partner here, your spouse, your husband, or whoever. And I'm going to ask you to do this. Just indulge me for about 10 or 15 seconds. I want you, if you don't have a partner here, I want you to envision, as you do this exercise, your higher power. That you're looking in that person's eyes. I want you to turn to your partner, and I want you to open both eyes, and I want you to look in their eyes, and I want you to take 5 seconds and tell them you love them without saying a word. You cannot touch them. You cannot touch them. Okay, ready? We got to wait for everybody to be ready.
That was a practice.
Oh, how'd it work out? Okay, now, turn. You may hold her hand, but you cannot say anything. Go. Okay. Hey, some of you cheated. You looked up this way before 5 seconds. When we share daily, we look at each other's eyes, and I see peace in there. I want my wife to see peace in me for our common welfare, and that we can have peace together as a couple. God bless you for being here. If this is your first time here, keep coming back. If it's not, keep listening and make each other your best friend. And I want to just say one last thing. My wife and I just celebrated 1 year of marriage 36 times about a week ago. And it is wonderful to break it down to one day and to 1 year at a time. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Sue.
Hi, Sue.
I'm in a committed relationship with Mike and recovering, and I'm very grateful. I'm grateful for all those who have gone before me, who have led the path, because if they hadn't, I wouldn't be here today. And I'm grateful to my higher power. And thank you all for being here, because I have to admit that I've been through a lot in the last 9 years of recovery, and I've thought about a lot of things and heard a lot of things, but I never, ever connected the traditions to recovering couples. So I've had the opportunity of being able to look at something a little differently, and to, for lack of a better word, analyze it. Now, a long time ago, I gave a presentation, and I included the word FedEx. And I shared about there's a sign in FedEx. And I don't know if any of you have seen it. If you have, and you know what that sign is within the word FedEx. Does anybody know? Okay. An arrow. There's an arrow in FedEx. And when I needed to speak today, I didn't know what I was going to speak on. But listening to the speakers before me helped me. And the traditions are like a background, a support. And FedEx, there's an arrow, and you're not going to be able to see it, so you can come up later. But between the E and the X, there is a negative space. And they made sure that there's room. They use that negative space, and they have an arrow. So if you want to come up later, but that's what the traditions are. They take the negative space and they use it. They take every bit of the space and they fill it with something positive. And I really appreciated how you said the traditions help for homicide. We in recovery need everything we can get. And in reviewing them, I could see how they supported us. And that's what we need. Who we are is what we bring into our relationships, into our coupleship, into our families. And as I read through them, I could see bits and pieces of what that happened, of how that happened, and what that brought into our coupleship, and that the traditions did support us, and that we did use them, but I wasn't on a conscious level recognizing them. And so many of you may be using them as well, but not just realizing them. So it would really be a help to sit down together, take some time, and read the traditions one at a time, and share about how that impacts you, how it supported you. And maybe there was an example somewhere along the way that you could remember now and share about how that helped and how that can support you going in the future. A couple of the things that impact me is the common welfare and the unity. Mike and I did not have any common welfare. We didn't have any unity in our coupleship. And we do now. And it's only because we recognize the importance of that. We have a foundation in our coupleship, but we recognize how fragile that is, and we recognize that it's not just because of Mike and I. We recognize because it's of other people that are in our circle that also believe the same thing. And so we surround ourselves with people who also believe how fragile a coupleship is, and they also respect it. And so that gives us a support. Our higher power is one that is our foundation, along with our individual recovery and our coupleship recovery. So we know how easily our coupleship can be damaged. So we are very, very careful. When we do anything, it's not about me, it's not about Mike, it's about our coupleship. So we have found that we are not as defensive about us individually, but we're very protective about us as a couple. So I am appreciative of the fact that I have now another tool. And here it's been sitting there all this time, and we never really picked it up. At least I hadn't thought of it as a tool for a coupleship. I've used it as a tremendous tool in my individual program. So now I can add that to my toolbox. And maybe you can look at it as a different way, as a sharpened tool for your coupleship to support you, because it's not easy to be in a coupleship. It's not easy to be willing all the time, when sometimes our ego is stronger than our willingness. When I get my ego going, man, that is strong. And I dig my heels in, and that is strong. And so my willingness flies out the window. But if I use that arrow from FedEx and redirect myself and include the traditions and include all the other wonderful aspects of recovery, then I feel so much more serenity. And then my willingness is stronger again. And we have a path. And having that path is something that helps us to be joined together with a common goal, our common welfare. And I appreciate that, because we now have understanding and we have peace. It's not always there, but we know how to get it again, because we know what it was like not to have it. And we really don't want to go back there. It was too painful. And because we now have the tools, we can pick them up a lot quicker. We can identify a lot quicker. And we have the joy that we never thought we could have. And so we want to share that. We want people to know that it is possible. And it's not in a way that that is impossible to obtain. It's only been in the simple, tiny things that have happened, the tiny miracles. And all of these tools add upon each other. And it's the joy that fills the heart, that gives the serenity, that allows you to connect with one another. And that's what I wanted to share today. And the traditions are another aspect to being able to obtain that. And it's yours for the taking. And you showed up today in order to find that path. So thank you for letting me share.
So we talked too long. We used up all the time. Sorry. There are a couple of publications that you want to know about. There are these two pamphlets, one in Al-Anon, one in AA. They're the Illustrated Traditions. They're both named the same. And they're like children's books, you know, little pictures and little simplifications and stories about the traditions, and they're really good. And then there's an AA Traditions Checklist. It's really good, in addition to Paths to Recovery. You know, this is an anonymous program, so keep everything to yourself. Unless you think it'll help somebody. And would you stand and join me in closing with the we version of the Serenity Prayer? prayer.
God, grant us the courage to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back. It works.
You work it. You work it
because you're worth it.
Sure.
It's
828-689-0200.
Thank you. Very nice. Oh, you're more than you know.
'Cause we were in Boone at that time, and we came down. We drove, we're only an hour from here.
Southeast.
Southeast, yeah.